Welcome, everyone. Chuck Bonneville here with Julie Hayden for the Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up. We're going to have a great show, Julie. We got Michael Tao coming up in a few minutes. We'll also talk about the huge brawl fest that may occur tonight in the debate starting at 7
o'clock
tonight.
Talk about
a fight
party.
Oh, that's going to be fun, fun, fun. And maybe go into Blagojevich pardon, which I think is
interesting. And you know, and they all, eerily, they all tie together. I don't know, Chuck, you've been busy working. The Glendale Trekby Chronicle comes out tomorrow, so Chuck has been doing double duty. Actually, I have a little bit too.
Yeah.
But Comey, the lawyer who prosecuted and gave Blagojevich that horrible sentence, right, is a guy by the name of Patrick Fitzgerald.
Same one who went after the...
Well, he's Comey's best friend.
And
he's
attorney.
Comey's best friend. And Mueller, an attorney. And Mueller is the one, when he was FBI director, who ordered the raid on Blagojevich.
Right.
It all comes full circle, right? You got to wonder if President Trump is maybe just kind of... sending him a message.
The Teutonic plates are moving. You can tell that because, 2,000 former DOJ officials want Barr to resign. There are, stories. He's going to resign. I mean, they're throwing everything in the kitchen sink because apparently things are moving. I mean, that's...
We can only hope. We'll get... Michael Tao will come on here in a second. And, he frequently says, don't get your hopes up, guys. Don't get your hopes up. They were going to. And then also today, though, some great news regarding, we can talk about this, the Colorado Republican Party, Trump's visit on tomorrow. Which is amazing too.
What's the great news?
I'm going to tell it later. That's a tease. Hey, so we want to let folks know, if you want to call in, the number is 888-627-6008.
And we love callers, the first time callers. We love that too. So feel free.
That's right. If you want to call in via Zoom, you can do that too. We've had Jan Cook does that. Ben Nicholas does that. What you do is you go to... you go to the bbsradio.com/the Chuck and Julie Show, and they have a link right there. So all you do is just click the link. A couple other things, just housekeeping notes. If you miss the podcast, we put it up on YouTube right away. And we also go to, you can just one-stop shopping at chuckandjulie.com. You can get all of the podcasts there. As Rev says, like us and subscribe. Love to have you do that. We wanted to bring, though, Michael Tao on. A lot of things have been happening. Trump, Barr, kind of involved in this... And we'll ask Michael what he thinks. Is it a war or is it a fake war? Right.
I don't think it's either. I think it's annoyance on one part, on both parts. Annoyance by both.
Right. And I think on the other hand, too, what you've got going on is the deep state swamp people are getting worried. Right.
Very
All of a sudden,
worried.
The Washington
Very
Post
worried.
Is writing stories.
Comey, coming on twice this week.
Two editorials.
By Comey. You can just feel him. Starting to pay. We got to tap this down where we can.
Right. And exactly. And then there was a 60 Minutes report on, and I'm going to set the stage, and then if we can bring up Michael Tao, if he's with us. So I was watching this, and my head was exploding. I was just going, I kept, poor Chuck, who's already seen it. I kept going, Chuck, are you? And he's like, I didn't write it. It wasn't me. It was Scott Pelley in this calm voice, essentially accuses Trump and all the rest of us of being crazy. Okay, Michael's not here yet. So when he gets here, we'll bring him on.
Where's Michael?
I don't know. And maybe, let me lay it out and then I can maybe see if he's emailed me. It's kind of tricky to do this all live on the air.
I'll take over the ship. 60 Minutes did one on CrowdStrike and the whole hack of the DNC that wasn't. But clearly, just like they did the Swift Boats, when the Swift Boat book came out, New York Times, all the other major media ignored it. They refused to talk about it at all, figuring if we don't report it, it's not news. Except the internet had come and all of a sudden reporting. So then they figured, okay, it's out. We can't stop that. So now we go into plan B, which is to trash it. Say it's just lies. And so they did an amazing piece on there where they just set up straw men. Do not discuss at all why there was no hack of the DNC by the Russians. They don't address any of that except the most superficial terms, and then go endlessly after the server, that there is no server. There can't be a server. The server's gone, so there you go. No server. And it doesn't really matter if they have the server or not. The question is, did the Russians hack the DNC?
Well, what they do is that they try to make it sound like Trump is crazy, right? Like you said, they start off by saying, well, we know that the Russians hacked the DNC. So let's just start there. We do not know that. In fact, the only reason we think that is because the Democrats tell us that, right?
No, they go over in the beginning. They do a two-prong one to discredit that the Russians hacked the computer. One, they go to a former CIA woman who says we had tons and tons.
This is in the 60 Minutes report.
60 Minutes. We had tons and tons of human resources. It wasn't just the CrowdStrike stuff. It was that we had so much else. They don't tell you.
We have
you kind of go,
else.
What was the other element?
There was no other
What
else.
Was the human resources?
Well, and then,
but wait a minute.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Hold on. And then they I don't even know, remember what I was going to say. But,
well,
but,
that's what I'll jump in then. that's my ploy.
But
you were saying they said they had tons of human resources.
Right. And which is really what the Steele dossier, that was all they don't say it. Just it's just and they and then Pelley asking, you mean it wasn't even a close? No, it's not even close.
Not even a close.
Not
call.
Even close. We then, won't go into any of the thing, but it's not even close.
And
then they bring the CrowdStrike in, mm-hmm. the Browns guy in, and says, oh,
the CrowdStrike guy. Oh, yeah. Oh, like, he's a reliable source.
Yeah, what do you mean? We gave everything the FBI want. Do you hear the FBI complaining? Huh?
No,
huh?
It's because they were in on
Because they're in on the scam.
It's
oh, my God.
I know. And then that stupid woman, and I'm sorry. Well, it was a stupid reporter for even interviewing her. So she says, well, you know, the intelligence community assessment, the ICA, said that the Russians hacked it.
It's no longer 17. They've agreed that it's really only three.
Brennan Clapper and somebody from the NSC. So, again, the people who made up the hoax are the people that 60 Minutes is interviewing to say there was no hoax.
Right.
And then they turn it around and say, by the way, Trump is talking about a little teeny box computer. He's like, they have a bunch of servers, blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of like, well, there's a server there still, right?
And they go, well,
and then they say, oh, there's no ties to Ukraine. Okay, so number one, they're all forgetting their 2017 reporting, 60 Minutes, CBS, CNN, ABC, Politico, all of the corporate media organizations in 2017 were reporting about Ukraine trying to influence the election on behalf of Hillary Clinton, right? I mean, they did all of that. And then and today, though, they forgot that, apparently. They're like, oh, no Ukraine. So the bottom line, the 60 Minutes report, it starts with line number one, that the DNC was hacked. Line number two, that it was hacked by Russians. Line number three, that an independent investigation by the intelligence community found that it was the Russians. It was anything but independent. It was a cover-up at the beginning, and 60 Minutes is now part of that cover-up.
Was now.
Well,
it
was not, MSNBC, but it's even more now.
NBC,
now, but here,
now
though, here is why when my head was exploding, I'm like, okay, I'm going to put my hat on so it doesn't explode. You got to ask yourself, why now? Nobody has been taught. They had the whole impeachment thing. The whole impeachment thing was to forget about CrowdStrike. Nobody's talking about CrowdStrike. Nobody, even on Fox, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson kind of talks about it. Sean Hannity does too, but even they've I guess, whipped them into submission. They're like, okay, fine, we won't talk about CrowdStrike. But you got to ask yourself, so why is 60 Minutes suddenly bringing up CrowdStrike? Why is everybody attacking Bill Barr? Why are they putting out these fake stories? Oh, Barr is going to resign. And Barr's like, I'm not going to resign. They're putting out all of these fake stories. Why do you think that is?
Because they're getting close. They're starting to interview FBI agents. They're getting people to flip or something. There's a reason why the word goes out to 60 Minutes.
Right.
You must defend and attack.
I guarantee you. Yeah, 60 Minutes wasn't sitting around. Scott Pelley's like, I know. Let's look at that CrowdStrike thing. Remember how everyone was talking about that?
Well, then the other one they attack is Trump's statement that CrowdStrike is owned by some rich Ukrainian. And Trump is often wrong with his facts. But he repeats it a few times. And they go, we looked at the filings. The SEC filings, and it's shown by owned by hedge funds in the majority. You kind of go, yeah.
And who are those hedge funds?
Are the hedge funds? Is it Ukrainian? Is it with a huge amount of Ukrainian money that went into a hedge fund that went into CrowdStrike? No, don't need to worry about that.
No, they say, well, that's not a Ukrainian company. It's registered in what?
Delaware,
where everybody's
big
registered.
Office it's like, in California.
Oh, see, so no
could
Ukraine.
Not be more pro-American. They don't mention that of the two. Sean Henry is a former FBI guy who's their CEO.
Who was the CrowdStrike cyber guy?
Yeah, CrowdStrike FBI. He left the FBI just a little ago, and then the other guy, Perovich, is a Russian who hates Putin. But they don't mention any of that. It's just a bunch of fine hedge funds,
and you know, and that's just back up to folks. Trump has been right all along. Right.
Yeah,
every time
well,
it comes
less,
up, he's been proven correct. We have been talking, thanks to Michael Tao. Hopefully we'll get him pretty quick on this show about it for a couple of years now. I'm glad to see 60 Minutes talking about it, at least debunking it, because that says to me somebody's worried. You don't debunk something if you're not over the target. Right. You just continue to ignore it, wouldn't you say? Yeah. And so I got to wonder maybe if something's coming up. We know now.
Well, another story's come out is that vis-a-vis apparently the lawyer for Julian Assange, they said, well, he'd pardon him.
But this is back in 2017, though.
2017, oh, whenever it was. But now, because the one person who could break it all open is
Julian Assange.
It's Julian Assange.
Right. But what happened, though, is apparently, at least Julian Assange's lawyer is asserting, and I believe the assertion is coming today, which is why it's coming out, is asserting that in 2017, Trump said or indicated that he'd be willing to discuss pardoning Assange if Assange said that the Russians didn't have anything to do with the
hack. Well, you already said that.
Now, yeah, and I got to wonder now, this is all being reported by the corporate media. So I got to wonder if perhaps Trump said, hey, I'll pardon you if you'll say where you got the information.
Well, that's a different thing.
Right.
But
by the same token, all of this, though, is coming out trying to make it look like Trump is somehow doing something crooked by talking about CrowdStrike in the Ukraine and things like that, which, again, says to me that he might be over the target.
Let's have our staff call Michael Tao. The staff being us.
We're the staff.
Well, the production staff.
I did. So we're going to have to. Pardon me again while I work on this. Hang on a second.
Well, at any rate, I'll blabber along while you're doing that. And so it's all coming to a head. They know they got to get Barr out of there, just like they had to get rid of Sessions, just like they had to get Flynn, and they did, and they were able to get.
And they were doing. Let me see if we can to our great producers at BBS Radio. If you could try calling Michael, I'm gonna. Oh, he's here.
He's here. He's here.
You asked. Let's bring him on. We were gonna call the bat phone and bring him up.
Right.
This could be my fault too. I told him it'd be closer to 3:15, operator error. Sorry.
That's usually that our happens. MO. Yeah.
That happens. But anyway, we wanted to bring him on because he is one of the first
that has
been talking about it. Hey, Michael, we've been.
Sorry.
No.
I had trouble figuring out the internet stuff.
Well, me, I think it was my, I was operator error too. So, okay, I was telling Chuck, I was saying earlier.
Well, let's first say, Michael is starting to break out into the real universe. I mean,
I thought maybe I had pimples.
Yeah. No. the Gateway Pundit and some others are starting
you're
to quote
them.
You're all
over the place, WhatsApp.
And I've also, that initial article, which we first met over when you read that, I got it, I reposted it and I started proofreading it. And I realize I know so much more now than I knew then. So you should actually read it again. Like I've expanded.
Oh, you've updated it? Okay, where do people want to go find it? Where should people find it?
Clearpicture.net. It's at the top of the page. It's the first post. And there's a version of American Greatness, but that's the older version. And I'm still tinkering, but it's mostly done. Like I've had a lot. At the time I wrote that, I sort of barely had a grip on it myself. It was like 2 years ago. And now I'm like, oh my God, I should have said this. I should have said that. This should have been this way.
And let's go back in the Wayback Machine. When we first started talking about this with you a couple years ago, I mean, a part of you were kind of like, no, this couldn't really be true. But now, like you said, not only do we know it is all true, it's even worse than what we thought.
Worse. Yeah. We've had Mueller's report. So think about this. This is what's sort of the central thing that's striking me as I rewrite this. So I've also incorporated stuff. So the day that came out, that first article was July 13th, 2018. 2 hours later, Mueller issued his indictment of the 12 Russian agents for all this stuff. So my article got swamped partially by that. Like people were saying, oh, well, here's the indictment. So think about it this way. So there's this guy, Guccifer 2.0. He comes out and he says, I'm the guy who the Washington Post said hacked the DNC, installed the files. Mueller says, yeah, he really is. He's a Russian spy. Mueller says it in his report, his indictment. And Mueller quotes these communications, he doesn't say where he's getting it. He claims they're from Guccifer 2.0 and WikiLeaks, where WikiLeaks passed Guccifer 2.0 documents. Mueller doesn't say that Guccifer 2.0 said he was passing the documents to WikiLeaks. His first blog post, I passed documents with his phony Russian grammar. I passed documents to WikiLeaks. They publish soon, right? So he doesn't. So he's trying to prove. I mean, everyone really needs to think about this. He wants to prove this guy is passing documents to WikiLeaks. He doesn't mention the guy said he's passing documents to WikiLeaks. Because if he mentions that, The idea that he's a Russian spy passing documents to WikiLeaks is completely blown out the water. And the thing that irritates me, it's the press. They let him get away with this.
Oh, yeah.
They should be doing the crap that other people, Adam Carter from the site G2 Space.
Well, but they are the conspiracy.
They are the conspiracy.
They ought to cover these stories. If they cover them, then you get the 60 Minutes report, which I hope you saw.
I haven't had a chance even. Also, I was afraid it would aggravate me so much. I was afraid smoke, like Milton the Monster.
I was saying, Michael, I'm watching it because I watched it this morning and I'm like yelling at Chuck. He's like just sitting there trying to do some work. I'm like, Chuck. And he's like, Julie, I know. It's like, I didn't write it.
Yeah, that's what I would. And so, and thinking about the other thing. So Mueller wants to say with these things he's eavesdropped on and these eavesdropping on websites that people have gotten. He wants to say Guccifer 2.0 not only passed documents to WikiLeaks, which he said he did. He wants to say he's a Russian spy. Right? And he cites this proof. But he doesn't cite that an hour after Guccifer 2.0 sent his emails out, everyone was saying he was a Russian spy because when they opened the metadata, they saw a Russian name in the metadata. It's the first thing you see. And then when they Googled it, I mean, they should have put a link in so you didn't have to bother to Google it. When you Googled the Russian name, you found out it was the guy who founded the Soviet secret police. Right. So
this is one tricky spy.
And Mueller doesn't mention. So there's evidence that's much stronger for what he's trying to show that he doesn't mention because it's so strong that it undermines it, that it proves that the evidence was planted. So this is like, you know, Trump said he should. So all these people, they need to be sent to Russia. I'm totally serious. I'm not kidding. This Mueller, Comey, Brennan, Clapper, maybe Obama. I don't know how high like this goes. Hillary Clinton, Alperovitch from CrowdStrike, if you're listening, you need to be sent back to Russia. John Henry excuse me, I don't know if I can curse it. Sean Henry, the CrowdStrike founder, before even this, if you start looking up the operations he ran, they busted this guy when he was head of FIS cyber operations. They busted this huge hacker called Sabu. They ran him. They got him to suggest hacks to other people and give the other people the tools necessary to run the hacks. One guy's in jail for 10 years. Because, like, Sean Henry got him. And they also got him to hack the Iranian people. And they used it in American, like, intel. They got it. So all these people for this Russia thing, they need to be sent. And I'm not joking. You know, sent to Russia and let Putin deal with them for framing him. Like, that's the only reasonable option here. I mean, again, it's like incredible. I'm Mueller. I'm going to prove to you that this Russian spy, this guy who I'm going to prove sent documents to WikiLeaks, that he was in reality a Russian spy. He said he was a Russian spy.
Okay, he went out his way
to announce that he was passing documents to WikiLeaks. So another thing, the Washington Post story that announced the hack. It didn't say that the hacker was after Hillary Clinton. That would have been implausible. How are you going to prove that? Guccifer 2.0 says, I'm the hacker. And Mueller says, yeah, that he was. He's like, and I hate Hillary Clinton. I'm naming myself after Guccifer, a guy who was known for being a pain in the ass to Hillary Clinton and was in jail. And I'm after Clinton. I hate her. Why is he giving this? So Washington Post published a story about a hacker. Next day, the hacker goes online and says, you know, there was some stuff in there you guys missed. Like, so it's about a Russian spy hacker. You don't even know the whole mission. You didn't know who my accomplice was, WikiLeaks, and you didn't know I was after Hillary Clinton. And I just feel like, you know, bad for you. Like, I want to help you out. So he, like, reveals his accomplice and his mission statement one day after an article exposes him in the Washington Post. Well, it's just like, I'm working on this, and I'm just like, it's like I'm Alex Jones.
Put a hat on so your head doesn't explode.
Oh, it's great. So they're proof. That the Russians didn't hack the
60 Minutes.
The 60 Minutes. And say, one, they bring in this kind of attractive looking, somewhat young looking woman who was one time a CIA analyst and stuff, who apparently saw the intelligence report. And Scott Pelley's going, well, how does it prove that there is a lot in there? There's just tons. It's all human resources. And it's very complete. He doesn't ask her, well, who? I mean,
she says, Michael, she says, well, the intelligence community assessment, you know, Brennan Clapper.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That says we do not have facts that are proof. It says it. Like, you read the damn thing, you open it up, and it says we're not claiming we have facts that are proof. Like, and then
we ought to take a break. It's only 13 minutes. Have Michael review.
Yeah, no,
After 30 minutes, his head would not be there.
His head would not be there.
Yeah, I can't watch it. It would like completely drive me insane.
But then they had
and that intelligent community assessment, it's apart from being grammatical, it's literally something like some stoner high school student did the night before. Literally, and I'm not even so more than half of it is a report from 2012 or 13, from like 5 years before it was written, on Russia Today that itself is just a cut and paste job right from the internet. Half of the ICA has nothing to do.
They made it sound like super secret. Super secret, but she could reveal that there's lots of data.
Lots
in that.
Of stuff in there.
So and they have her saying, and he just says, you mean it wasn't a closed case? He goes, no.
Let me ask you about this because I want you to respond to this. So then they bring in a guy from CrowdStrike and they say, well, you know, you guys didn't let the FBI look at it. And he says, well, you don't hear the FBI complaining about
we
that.
We gave them everything.
You do know, but
they don't need no stinking server. They don't need no stinking server.
It's because they were in.
And then think about this too. So if Mueller and Comey had the forensics, they could have quoted it and not, they could have said, okay, the forensics show on this date the things were stolen. They give no forensic evidence, even if by some bizarre thing a report by a private company was classified. How are that supposed to work? Suppose it was, they could have said, we can't reveal details, but the forensics say on these dates the files were stolen. That's not what they say. And the dates Mueller does, the whole thing is just the dates Mueller does say the files were stolen. He's wrong from analysis people have said. But suppose they're right. CrowdStrike was monitoring the server at that point on their own story. In that first Washington Post story, they say CrowdStrike kicked the Russians off this weekend. So, that's June 10th. To find out when they quote Wasserman Schultz saying they kicked them off immediately, right? And you read that and you're like, okay, immediately. To find out when they first discovered them, you read 726 pages of objective journalist's prose. It's like you're falling asleep. You can barely stand it. And then you get to her saying they found the Russians then or something, some pronoun. In that paragraph is not when it was. You go back to the previous paragraph, you get another pronoun.
Right.
You go back four paragraphs more to find out that it was in early May that they detected the Russians and they kicked them off 6 weeks later. I want them to come in, people who will come in, find hackers, and leave them on there for 6 weeks while they steal all my shit.
Well, their excuse,
they're tricking them.
Their excuse is by knowing them, we can just watch their movements.
Whether you believe Mueller's lying dates or whether you believe the real dates, two or three facts, depending on your individual. Whether you believe Mueller's dates when the files were stolen or the dates that the analysis show by people who are like objective show, either way, every single file was stolen while CrowdStrike was watching the Russians in the system.
And then they show a screenshot.
Even if you don't buy any analysis, you go, you know, I don't understand how that works. I don't know. I don't believe that. Look at the emails. They have dates on them. More than half of them are dated after CrowdStrike put their stuff on their monitoring equipment on the server.
And my favorite
part. Don't even need a complicated. At least half the emails just from the date were stolen while Alperovitch and Henry were monitoring the DNC service. And Alperovitch, you know, if you really buy this, there's a Russian under every bed crap. Alperovitch was born in Russia and he went into they hired a Russian. He comes out and he monitors the system for 6 weeks. And the Russians, while he's doing it, the Russians steal like at least half. And if you believe the analysis, every single email. If you really believe, which I don't, but if you really believe the DNC, and no one's sure, the DNC was hacked. And there's Russians everywhere. He's obviously a Russian spy. There's like no Alperovitch.
He's a Russian spy.
He should be like he should be arrested immediately. If you believe the truth and there was no hack, he should be arrested for faking it. If you believe there was a hack, this Russian guy let the Russians steal all the files.
Here's part of that Mueller thing and the indictment and everything else. Was they show the 12 Russians, specific people with the acrylic and all that names. That in the GRU hacked the email server. Now there's zero chance that you by CrowdStrike that you could identify who the individual people who hacked. You just couldn't do it.
Yeah, and the other thing, interesting thing about that is so these internet security companies, and they all cover for each other. They when they disagree with CrowdStrike, you have to be careful to find out. But no one's saying, for some reason, hey, Mueller found out who App28 is. Now we have their names. Like, you can look all over the place. You're not finding anybody saying, hey, before they were just a hypothesis. It was just like, there are these techniques and tools that people have used in hacks. We're going to hypothetically assume it's all the same person because it's the same tools. And because there's some Russian in the code or whatever, we're going to assume they're Russian. And because of the kind of data they go for, we're going to assume they're state actors and not private criminals. That's all we had before. But now Mueller has given us their names. You can, like, search up and down. There's no internet security firm who gives a goddamn, excuse my language, rat's blank about what Mueller said with these names. And the thing is, he indicted people he can't possibly get in to have a trial, right?
Yes.
If he knew that. No, everybody, and then that was an excuse to cite all this stuff unproven. If they were going to go to trial, he couldn't have gone away with it. The judge would be like, you're saying crap. Like, it's not even proven because there's no trial.
Yeah, and that's like the DC Circuit judge, right? Yeah, Amy Barrett Jackson. Right. She goes, that's great.
Great stuff.
That's great. We need to indict them all off your heads.
Here's another thing, Michael, let me have you address, because I think I really do believe more than anybody in America, you know more about this than anybody else. So then they start making fun of Trump for talking about the server. They're like, and Trump is calling, talking about a teeny box server being in Ukraine. And he's like, there are tons of servers. Why don't you talk about that a little bit? Because what do you think Trump was doing when he was talking about the server? What do you think? Because they're trying to make it sound like Trump is crazy and just doesn't understand computers like
him. Yeah, this is what they do every time. So what they do with Trump in every topic. It's the same strategy. You pick a tiny interpretation, a very narrow interpretation of what he's doing that's like literal or not even literal. It's off if they can get it. And then you focus on some problem with that, like a laser, and you laugh and you make fun of them and people feel superior. So if what he was saying, if the only point Trump made was that the FBI didn't come in and take the servers out, then yeah, what he's saying like isn't a big deal. Right? But what he means by that, or even who gives a crap about Trump at this point, like the fact that that's being pointed to by this, what he's saying, whether he knows it or not, is normally what would happen is the FBI would either take the servers or they come in and do disk images on their own. Just like if there's a dead body in your living room, you call the cops, they come in and they take pictures on their own, right?
And they take the body.
What happened in this case is CrowdStrike did the images. A private firm on the DMP's payroll did the images. Comey testified 3 times that the FBI repeatedly told them that they needed the images and they didn't give it to them.
The FBI source gave them was redacted too, right? They didn't even give them a full.
Yeah, they didn't even. But that and that for those forensics that we don't even know that they got the images. CrowdStrike, if you read like through all the claims about what they got, there's one place where a spokesman for CrowdStrike says they got the images, but they don't say when the images were taken even. But we have no idea what they even got. And Comey said he was pressed by Senator Burr in one of the hearings, and Senator Burr said, "But you didn't get content," and he said, "No content." No content. That suggests they didn't get this images. But in a way, like, whatever they got, if they got images, they must have not said what they wanted them to say because they never quote from them. They never said.
That's a really good point. They would have released. You're right.
When Mueller did the indictment, you can't say to a judge, well, this is classified. We're not going to tell you.
Yeah, but right.
Well, sure you can.
So in the indictment, he needed to give whatever evidence there was. He does not mention this forensics from CrowdStrike. So the FBI accepted it. There's a spokesman for the FBI who I quote in the article on my site that's before the one that's been posted now on clearpicture.net, who said the FBI repeatedly told CrowdStrike, told the DNC of the necessity of examining their servers, and they were repeatedly rebuffed, right?
Right.
So, and Jay Johnson, if that's how you pronounce his first name, J-E-H, the National Security, the NSA chief at the time, he's testifying to Congress, and he says twice, if I knew then what I knew now, I would have bought a sleeping bag and camped down the side of the DNC.
Yeah.
Literally, twice he says that. The head of the NSA, the Department of Homeland Security, the DHS, he said if they wouldn't even talk to him. Right? He's trying. So to Comey, they said, Comey, we'll talk to you. We'll tell you you can't come in here, and we'll give you what we want to give you. To Johnson, they made him talk to Comey. Right? They wouldn't even, like, talk to them. And he's, like, trying to investigate. He's like, it's my job to secure election, guys. Like, Let me investigate. He says twice to Congress, if I'd known then what I know now, I would have camped outside, bought a sleeping bag and camped outside of the DNC. And these like scum people, there's no words that are to describe them. Now, they're going to sit there and claim, no, nothing bad happened. Anyone who said anything out of the ordinary happened is a debunked conspiracy theorist with a tinfoil hat watching Alex Jones, blah, 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 blah. Like, the punishment they deserve is, like, it's beyond anything. It's unbelievable. Well, so, you can look at the testimony. Comey tried to make it seem like it's not Vegas, but eventually somebody looked at the server and they gave us what they saw. He didn't say who. A high class entity is what human beings probably on the planet was heading the FBI for however long. A high class entity gave us the things. Well, no, Comey. If a victim reports a crime and refuses to let you do the crime, look at the crime scene, even if they're allowed to do that, you don't take evidence from somebody they hired. Right. No, you don't.
Let me ask you this question, because I don't have no computer expert. So you hack a computer and evidence of that hack is inside one or more servers, I assume. And that server, will it always retain that information unless you?
No, I don't think always. But the thing is, CrowdStrike had their monitoring software on that. So, yeah, like in a way, like, your question isn't even, it's worse than that. So I don't think it would always, but they had the world's premier monitoring software on there monitoring it when at least half, just by the dates of the emails, were stolen. And on anyone's reckoning, whether it's Mueller, whether it's the independent analysis, when every single email was stolen, they had their monitoring software on there. So yeah, there's like a log in there that should show. And that's the thing too, is like, as far as I can tell, I need to sort of like figure this out more. But so people always quote this transfer speed argument, and it's bad. It's like a disaster. It's ruined the argument that they were too fast to have to be transferred by a hack. That wasn't files released by WikiLeaks. So it's like, so it's user to those files. It has nothing to do with anything. It's, and they were transferred on July 5th, which is too late to be any transferred. And the person who did the analysis, who was not Bill Binney, but who Bill Binney somehow never mentions, was not Bill Binney who did the analysis. He explicitly said that any earlier transfer would have been wiped out by the July 5th one. So it's this no reason thing. And the actual DNC files, it looks like they were transferred at a speed too fast to have been a thumb drive. Like it's all wrong. It looks like they were put up, sent to the cloud, which makes sense. Like you're whoever you, maybe you're Seth Rich, maybe you're not. I don't know. You're whoever you are. And are you going to take like a thumb drive and are you just going to like click some buttons and upload it to the cloud?
Well, let me ask
you. The thing is, the fact that they had their monitoring software on when the files were exfiltrated, I think that has to show it was a leak, because
I think
what would happen is if somebody who had the credentials uploaded it to the cloud, that wouldn't ring any alarm bells, but they could find it on a log if they got suspicious and then find out who it was. And then maybe they would deal with that. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
But
it couldn't have been a hack, I don't think, because that would have shown the monitoring software wouldn't have allowed that. It would have alerted them. So as far as I can tell, that's really the evidence that when it was the speeds were fast. They weren't so somebody did analyze transfer speeds with DNC files, and they did narrow them down to the initial transfer, very likely, and they're fast. They're like, it looks like it was sent to the guy. And again, that makes sense. Like thumb drives, it's like, why not a floppy disk?
But you know, here's
who does that anymore?
I go back to too. If it was an innocent, I mean, if it really was a hack by the Russians, they would have let the FBI, they wouldn't have let it go on. Number two, they would have let the FBI and everybody examine their servers. And number three, they would have discredited this obviously fake Guccifer too, right? They wouldn't indict him. Let me move on though a little bit, because we don't have that much more time with you. What do you make though of the fact, I mean, so nobody's really talking about CrowdStrike very much. What do you make?
No, people are talking. A lot of people are talking about CrowdStrike.
But all of a sudden though, 60 Minutes does a report. You got 60 Minutes doing a report. You've got all this stuff coming out. Bill Barr is talking. We're all kind of skeptical about what Bill Barr is going to do, but what do you? I think that something is going on, and that the other side, that the bad guys, are sort of circling the wagons here, and they're shooting off all these fake media stories once again, saying, "Oh, anybody who talks about this is a crazy conspiracy person down a rabbit hole."
Yeah, I think so. Something definitely. So I get in the article, I think I didn't pick the title. I said AmericanGreatness.com. And at my website, at clearpicture.net. It's impeachment. The Democrats got what they wanted. They distracted from CrowdStrike, right. Something like that. My view has been all along that part of the thing they got out of impeachment, whether this is the whole thing or not, is a separate question, is that everyone forgot to mention CrowdStrike. So right. This is what they do every time. When one of these topics that they don't want discussed comes out, they carpet bomb you with conspiracy theorists for a couple of days, and then they distract. So the effect is that you're in a worse position when it's over. Because in a sense, you put your head up and you got smacked really hard, and now you're like down and you're afraid to bring it up even more. That's the effect of it. So something's clearly going on. Look at the timing. Impeachment ends, right? So right. Now they don't have the distraction anymore. And the first thing that happens is you have the 60-minute story making sure that the first thing you're going to hear again about CrowdStrike, I mean, I beat them by like a day or two, but it's not 60 minutes. The first thing you're going to hear about CrowdStrike when impeachment is over is that you're a nut conspiracy theory, Alex Jones watching, tinfoil wearing person if you doubt CrowdStrike's story. So I think it's a conjecture, but I think what's plausibly happened is impeachment ran its course. Somebody was going to bring it up again, like more than one person probably, and they want to step out in front and say, like, on an established source that these people who are destroying the country by watching television and going, yeah, that must be right. These people, like the 30% of the people who in the country who actually all they want out of life is to impress their television set. Oh, my television set won't like me if I doubt this. Right? Those people are watching 60 Minutes, and they're now. They're like reconfirmed, like they're oh, like
that's right.
Yeah, once you watch it, you kind of go, well, of course,
right? And he's so
only a total nutbag like Donald Trump or some sycophant,
or farmers, some stupid farmer.
And who's telling us? Of course, the same people who got us in the Iraq War. They're the exact people who are telling us that the Russians hacked the DNC. Who could be more? Clapper said. My fingerprints were all over the Iraq war dossier that got us into that, right? And his response is, well, afterwards, we put these rules in place to make sure it didn't happen again. The ICA, they did the debate rules, and you fire the people. You don't go like, yeah, I got an incompetent staff, so what I'm going to do is write another rule book.
Here's the rule book they have, and Bloomberg did it perfectly. So for 12 years, he totally oppressed the minority neighborhoods in New York. He throw anybody, if you look like you're 18 to 25, you went against the wall, got a gun on you, you got arrested. If you didn't have a gun on you, they'd give you one and arrest you, plant some drugs on you, whatever it took, you know. So tens of thousands of young men went to prisons for 2, 3, 4, 10 years, whatever. Entire neighborhood stripped of a young population. And when it comes up, he's going to run for president. He comes out, and it's about a 20-second apology. It's kind of like, you know, I didn't know that affected that community at all. And sorry. And that's good.
And the media decides whose apologies get accepted.
What more do you people want? He apologized. We believe in forgiveness. You know, and
unless you're Trent Lott, and then you don't believe in forgiveness.
No. Well, some things you can't. As long as it's just incarcerating young Latinos and blacks.
Or Illinois. Governor.
Yeah, but a random comment that by the wrong person can't be. You know, the whole thing is like ridiculous. Like the in my state, Virginia, the governor with the like, I don't even like. To me, you put on a costume, I don't even care. But they get hysterical about it. He does it, you know, whatever. A Republican does it, and it's like the thing about all that is that the conservatives, Republicans, they need to stop. Like, racism is not a word we ought to be using. You can say he hates black people, he hates Jews. You can specify what's wrong, but racism, these are not words we should be using because these are words designed to destroy us. That's how these words function. If you need to say what's going on, and sometimes you do, you need to say, that guy hates black people. He's awful. You can say that, and that's even better than the
vague discussion. But don't buy into their terminology.
Yeah, no, that's how they win. They it's germ warfare, essentially. They, like, control the language, and the language is – you can't win. Like, you want to say, well, yeah, there's something with that word racism that's bad that they're trying to get at. No, there's not. You're like, I know you're a nice person and you think that and you can't believe that, that it's not true. But it's not true. It's their word. It's meant to destroy people who resist them. That's its only function. You cannot change the language because it's their language. Like, you can't sort of think. And there is something that should be pointed to by the word, but that's not what they're doing it, right? It's sort of like picking up Nazi vocabulary and you didn't, but I'm just going to use it to refer to bankers who are like bad people. Well, whether you've, Jews already or not.
Won, like, you've already won the argument. You've got everything you want when somebody says, I'm not whatever it is. I am not a crook.
Yeah.
You're dead.
Yeah.
I'm not a racist. I am not a racist. You're dead. That's Trump. I mean, you're dead.
That's one way Trump is showing you. You don't apologize. Like, you do well, not, like, if you don't think you did something wrong, you don't like give any of these people because they're merciless. They're everything they say. The other side, hateful, violent, obsessed, just like awful people. So yeah, you can't win with this. If one of our guys makes like a random comment, like that they interpret as racist or a joke, you can't sort of, you can't punch
I
right.
I can tell you.
You cannot punch right.
You cannot say a joke.
Yeah.
No, they have no sense. I mean, again, they could. It depends who you are.
Michael, we're going to have to let you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
We'll have
and watch that 60 Minutes and call us the minute you have
a heart attack. And people should definitely check out clearpicture.net, like the first two articles for like what the lowdown on the fake hack. And definitely check out the first one again, you two do, because it's there's
we
more.
Will for sure. All right.
Much better. Thanks for having me on.
Right, no, thank you. 303, 888-622-2, let me get my glasses on.
I can read it. 888-622.
No, 627.
Yeah, well, that's your handwriting. All right, for the third time, just write this down. Just 888-627-6008. We'd love to get your phone call.
Because we wanted to, you can call about that. Wanted to talk a little bit, too, and our thanks to Michael, about the fight night going on at today.
Two more. Well, I guess three. It's 7 o'clock tonight. It's only 2 hours. Thank God it's just 2 hours. It's not... It's not the usual
I don't know that
three.
We can make it for the 2 hours. No. So, but no, it's a Democrat
I can make it
debate.
For 2 hours.
So what do you think? Okay, we should lay odds. I mean, it is Vegas. What are the odds that, number one, that Bloomberg stands in a box? I wonder. If Amy Klobuchar will. I wonder if they're going to attack him or what they're going to do. I mean, do you think that all of them, this is what I would do if I were them, is they need to knock him off the thing. He's been running this just money-only campaign. He hasn't had to answer any questions. Everybody in the – I mean, Chuck and I probably have videotapes somewhere of him saying something stupid that we could find, too. I mean, like everybody has videotape of him saying something stupid. If I were them, strategically, I would have formed a secret pact and said, let's just knock this guy off. I mean, they don't work that way.
Secret pacts with Elizabeth Warren don't work out real well because – Then she says, well, you told me this, I think. Yeah.
So what do you think is going to happen tonight?
Here's the bet. I bet 60% chance it'll be a dud fight. They won't go after him. They want somebody else to go after him, but they themselves don't want to go after him. And there's a 40% chance because, quite frankly, it's 2 weeks away. It's Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's less than 2 weeks away. And either they attack him or they lose. I mean, honestly, Buttigieg, Klobuchar, they have no chance as long as the mayor can just eat all their support. And his camp said, no, that Klobuchar and Buttigieg, but they need to drop out because this is not going to work.
We're going to win.
We need to stop Sanders, right? And the only way to do that is you.
See, but that, I mean, no, that's the thing. And Bloomberg has a lot of issues. On the other hand, though, the donor class is totally uniting behind him because they think that he's their best chance of winning, which is interesting.
And the donor Bernie class Sanders, controls MSNBC.
Right.
And the Bernie Sanders people know that MSNBC is controlled by the anti-Sanders people. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they, you know, slide. How do we hit Sanders, but not make it so obvious that
we're hitting him?
Stooge,
which is, I don't know. Maybe give him something in his coffee beforehand, so he keeps coughing. We got Charlene online too. Hey, Charlene, thanks for calling in.
Oh, hi there. Well, I'm so glad you asked about the two odd bets we're taking tonight. I don't think he'll be on a box because everyone's looking for the box.
Yes.
So I think
he's on a ramp. He'll be on still have
upper heels. He's going to be on like what is it?
Those lift shoes are 3 inches, and Robert De Niro wears them. And I have a picture of it that I've been tweeting out today. He'll have those on, and he'll have his pant legs covering them up. And I just wish there was like a mold for CNN or NBC in the back that would get a picture of that, because he could make a lot of money off of it. Because they're not going to show him wearing his lift shoes. And the 3 inches is all he needs, because that'll bring him from 5'4" to 5'7", which is all he needs. So that's my prediction on that.
Because I'm kind of short, it can be kind of embarrassing when you get the podium and it's like up here and you have to bend the microphone down and you can't see your head. So I think you're right.
Well, that's what I'm thinking there. And then also I think they're all going to be attacking Bernie, with the exception of Biden, because Biden's going to have to attack Bloomberg, because they're both Biden was the establishment candidate until Bloomberg knocked him out. So I think Biden will go after Bloomberg. But I think all the others will go after
Sanders. That's interesting.
The
only problem is having Biden go after Bloomberg. Biden will forget? You know, who do I go after? Who's here?
He'll attack.
Listen, you, Mayor. You're the mayor South Bend, weren't you? And he goes, no, I'm Bloomberg. Yeah. Well,
the only way he can go after him is say, you're taking my place as the establishment candidate, and I don't like it.
Let me ask you this, Charlene. Right. We got on the Democrat debate that's there, but tomorrow we got Trump coming to Colorado. What do you think of that? I think that's great.
Oh, I think it's fantastic. Yes, I'm so glad. And, you know, regardless of what Corey has failed to do in the past, at least he's there now. So I think it's great.
Yeah, and here, so I'll share with you then. I was talking to somebody today.
This is it.
The secret information.
All afternoon, Julia, I have some great news for the GOP. I go, what? I'm not going to tell you. I'm saving it for the broadcast. It's for their eyes only. There we go.
We've been hearing bits and pieces of this, but today I was talking with somebody who knew what they were talking about. And this person said that, yes, that Cory Gardner's appearance with Trump at the campaign is not going to be the first appearance, probably not going to be the first time Trump comes here, that Cory is totally embracing his, maybe not his inner Donald Trump, but Donald Trump. But even better than that, that the Trump people and the Cory Gardner people and the, I don't want to say maybe the establishment Republican people, but the Republican Party in Colorado are all working together. They're all going to be coordinating. Well, I know it's not, you know, but at least they're what I was told is it's not going to be like last time at all, where you had Cory Gardner pretending you never heard of Trump and calling Trump a buffoon. Republican Party saying we hate Trump. It's going to be much more united. And I think that's good. That's good news.
Oh, yes. That's fantastic.
That's great. Oh, my God. The Republican Party.
Chad doesn't believe it.
Well, it's only three people. It's Etta Berg, it's Ken Buck, and it's the woman who's been down. That's the Republican Party. There is no other Republican Party. They're not a legion of people out there. The grassroots that they've energized. All they've done is beat up the grassroots. I mean, the Republican in Colorado is really the consultant class that you know trashes all the people.
I'm trying to interject on the snowy day a bit of hope.
But I was waiting for this great announcement that they're opening 25 offices throughout the state.
Well, they are going to be.
Oh yeah.
Well, thank you for the call. Nicholas texted us in. He said he's not going to be standing in a box. Bloomberg's going to be standing on boxes of money. So. That's pretty good,
well,
too.
Well, baby steps, one step at a time.
There you go. Thanks, Charlene.
Thanks, Charlene.
Well, no, let me round this out a little bit.
Round it out. Okay, honey, go ahead.
I think that, number one, it's good that it is at least going to be better than last time, right?
Last time it came within 4 points.
Well, all I'm saying is the coordination/cooperation between Trump campaign, Gardner campaign, and then Colorado Republican Party. Now, I have a feeling that this is just my sense, and this is just me, so I'm not trying to quote anybody here at all. My sense is that the Trump people are sort of saying, you nice Colorado Republican Party people, why don't you you wait here? You know, we're going to call you. We'll give you some names after we call them. I mean, I get the sense that the Trump people are the Trump victory people are not leaving anything to chance, nor are they leaving anything up to Cory Gardner or the Colorado Republican Party.
Tell me when they go out and start identifying that huge group that's independents, which ones are Trump independents and which ones are not, and get them out to the polls. That's all that matters.
What I was told is that's what they are going to be doing, that they get that in Colorado, this is the Trump people, that they get that that's what they're going to have to be doing. And they're going to have to be doing?
Do you know how many days there are to the election?
I'm trying to be hopeful.
Well, I know, but give us something. Give us something. Like they're going to open an office with 200 workers in. Not that they're coordinating with the 12 people that the Republican Party has. And Cory Gardner, who is just lost.
I think it is good. Cory Gardner is going to be on the stage with Donald Trump. And I agree with Charlie.
Well, that's good. Great.
I mean, I can forgive and maybe not forget, but I can forgive Cory Gardner.
Well, it doesn't
really
matter if you forget. I mean, I think, as it always is with some stooge like Cory Gardner, he's better than Hickenlooper. Yes, he is.
And I'd
rather have Cory Gardner win again and do his old pathetic act than not. But it isn't whether you want to or don't want to or either they get a real ground game, and it's too late. Let me tell you, it's way too late. But if they started today, put in $25 million for a ground game, okay. But don't tell me they're really close. See, they've got Cory people and the 12 people in the Republican Party. It actually is three.
I think
the Trump thing is, and they're all going to do what? What are they going to do?
Well, like I said, the conversation I had was, number one, that everybody is on the same page. Number two, they're not. The person I was talking to did not put it this way, but this is my read on it.
No, tell us what the person said.
That they're not going to be. Well, I didn't take notes. They're not going to be relying on the Colorado Republican Party to do things. They're
going
to be doing it. Well, that's good, though, right? They're going to be doing it themselves.
Doing what themselves?
Identifying the voters and getting out.
Well,
you only
do that with a lot of people.
Well, it's my understanding that they're going to be. Chuck, don't argue with me here.
It's my understanding
they're going to have a lot of people. Raise
false
hopes. Don't
shoot
the messenger.
Well, the messenger isn't bringing us a message. All she's bringing is a PR garbage that we hear all the time.
No, this is not.
Let's hear 200 people are going.
888-627-6008. Call and save me or save Chuck. Save Chuck. I just think it is better news. I mean, last year, well, because in other words, they understand that in 2012 and 2016, even in 2018, they did not do nearly a good enough job getting out the vote. And they think there are a lot of people who are willing
to. It's not getting out the vote. That's what they always do. Here's what they always say. We need to register another 120,000 Republicans.
Knocking on doors, finding those people, and doing it.
Yeah, sure.
Well, now you can't let me be optimistic and then say, I don't believe it.
Well, let me see it, then I'll be optimistic. Well, I mean, you'd have to pour in.
We get a letter every other day from Donald Trump. I get one from Joe Biden, too, all the time. So there we go.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just think that's better news, right? I get the impression.
I guess so. I'm excited.
Well, here's why.
I'm excited.
Because I was afraid that they were going to say, they being the Trump people, that, like, number one, Cory Gardner can't lose. He's what, the most targeted senator,
yes.
I think? Okay. With the most some of the, you watch what news organizations you look at your information for, because some of them say, like, everybody hates Trump, which is totally not true, right? I mean, it was there's some poll out that says only, like, I'm going to misquote it, but something like 17% of Republicans support Trump. It's like, no, that's ridiculous. And it was, like, run by Progress Now or something like that, so.
MSNBC.
But I think, though, again, what's good is, at least we're acknowledging the problem. At least they're acknowledging that they want to fight for Cory Gardner. I was afraid they were just going to say, forget
Cory Gardner.
We'll try to get him elected, as opposed to just ignoring Colorado. Okay, well, fine. Okay. You want to go back to the Democrats?
What it takes to do in a local election. It takes an election in Glendale.
Right.
I mean, it takes a lot of people. For even a small election to get people out, identify who your supporters are, pick up their ballot harvesting, do it. Even a small town like Glendale, it's an amazingly massive human resource thing. And if you're going to actually compete in Colorado, you're going to need
a ton of people.
You're just going to have to be pouring them in here. And it's just a vague one that Cory Gardner is going to be up on stage acknowledging that his kind of campaign to be not quite for Trump or against Trump or be for both. You know, I mean, we've got Ben on the phone.
Yeah, we got Benny's. He's connecting. Are you connecting? Whoop, there you go.
Yay!
Hey, Ben, we only have about 2 minutes. What do you think?
Well, I just I had to sign in, so I may have missed that last question that you were dealing with. The reason I call is because that Chuck was talking about the how are they going to discover these unaffiliated Trump-leaning voters. And that's been a big problem for the RNC. And I think that, you know, the answer is to scour the rolls of the unaffiliated voters by county, because you're going to find a whole bunch of those unaffiliated voters that did not vote in the 2018. And you can darn well bet that they lean right. That's the people that they need to go after. And Chuck right about not having enough people and enough time to get this done. But that is a shortcut. And Ted Trimpa, you know, is the I listened to his. And that's exactly what they did for 20 years, that they scoured those and then they did the ballot harvesting. So those people that voted, you can get rest assured they're left leaning. And that's why they went out and beat us. So that's what we have to do. That's why the voter turnout was increased by almost 17% in 2018 and off cycle presidential year.
So let me back up. So what you're saying, Ben, because I think this is a smart point, is the Democrats, if we just look at what they did and kind of not do the opposite, but we look at the unaffiliated voters that they found, and we assume that any unaffiliated voter they left alone is a Republican, basically. So we should go get them.
They did not want to excite them, you know, to go vote, and they certainly didn't go back and do any ballot harvesting on there. And our side is too stupid to do it. So that's where I'm hoping that the Trump campaign office, if they come in and they do it smart, they can do it strategically and go to the precincts that they need to, and you'll flip this state.
Yeah,
we can help you. You'll give us a fighting chance.
That's brilliant. We hereby appoint you head of things in Colorado.
Well, that's what I've been trying to do here, you know, as the Adams County IEC is trying to get enough donations that we can launch something like that, because we're the only county in the entire state that has an IEC for this purpose. But right now it's just falling on deaf ears. Nobody really wants to get involved in that. Right. And so it's just me out here pounding the drum. And Neil, you know, he knows what we're doing because we talked about this when we put it all together out here.
Right.
But that's what we have to do. If we want to have a fighting chance, that's the answer.
All right. Thank you, Ben. That's a perfect way to end the show. Yeah. We've got 60 seconds left. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ben.
We'll see you next time.
Okay,
that's going to do it for us. Want to let everybody know. First, thank you everybody for calling in. You can go to chuckandjulie.com to catch the podcast. It'll be up on YouTube in about an hour. The folks at BBS Radio do a great job there too. So just go to bbsradio.com/chuckandjulie. On Friday, we'll talk about the debate. We'll see if Bloomberg is still standing or who's still standing.
Yeah, tonight is a big deal. If Bloomberg survives and they don't really attack him, then it's Sanders versus Bloomberg, and all the rest of them might as well drop
out. And we'll get some reports in from folks who were at the Trump rally, so you'll want to tune in for that,
great.
Too.
All right. All right, everybody, take care. We'll see you next time.